Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew, the 13th chapter, and can be found on page 795 of your Bible. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad fish. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I looked at today's gospel and at the Old Testament lesson, which we did not read for today, but talks about how Solomon asks. God gives Solomon a choice of anything Solomon wants, and Solomon asks for the gift of wisdom to be able to discern good from bad. And that text and the other text got me to thinking about the Serenity Prayer. Are any of you familiar with the Serenity Prayer? Okay, some people have. Do any of you use it for daily devotions or for like reflection kind of a thing? Yeah, okay. So why don't those of you who know it, why don't we say it together? There are a couple different versions, so we'll go with, since I've got the mic, we'll go with my version. but is God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Yeah. Amen. And that wisdom, I think, is the key to that whole prayer. Wisdom to know the difference between the things we can change and the things that we cannot change in the prayer there. And I got thinking about wisdom because wisdom is a piece of all these parables, even though it's really not mentioned per se in the gospel. Jesus, at the very tail end of today's text, mentions it just kind of in passing. Jesus tells all these parables, and then Jesus says, disciples, do you understand what I've just said? And amazingly, they say, yes. And I want to say, really? I'm not sure 2,000 years later we fully understand these parables and exactly what they mean, but at that point in time, the disciples felt confident enough to say yes. They do understand them. At the very end, Jesus says, that's good, because you have the wisdom to take what is new and what is old and use the best of the past to understand the new things that are coming, the new stuff that is there. And that wisdom to know the difference between what is just old and not so worthy of things and what is new and worthy of thing of thought, that takes some wisdom to be able to discern what is good and what is not so good. And as I thought more about wisdom, I think in the Bible Wisdom is given to everybody, some in different amounts, some in different ways. But the purpose of wisdom is really to point to God, to discern the workings of God in the world, to see God's fingerprints, to see God sightings, whether it's in a spectacular sunset or some beauty of nature. Kenley has a shirt with a whale shark on it, which I think is kind of a cool, you know, if God makes whale sharks, that's pretty neat. Or to see God's fingerprints, not only in nature, but in the kindness that one person expresses toward another, and the works of unexpected mercy, unexpected peaceful things that people do for each other at times. But discerning the difference, discerning God's work in the world, isn't so easy. It takes time for that to be revealed, and it's kind of a process of discerning. And during that discerning time, using the wisdom that God has given to us takes a couple of things. And the first thing I think it takes is time. And our first two parables, we see that time is an important element of that. When you come up for communion, be sure to admire all the mustard seeds that are on the front carpet here. And if you think about the mustard seed, or any seed, and how it grows, in addition to sunlight and rain and good soil, time is a piece in how that seed grows from the little tiny thing that it is to a plant. And the same is true for acorn seeds or for maple seeds. It takes time for a seed to grow into a tree. That doesn't happen in one day or 2 days, but it takes 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, it takes a long time to be mature and for that seed to grow. And the same for the story, for the parable of the yeast in the bread. If you are a bread maker, raise your hand if you've ever made homemade bread. We got some bread makers. And it takes time, doesn't it? You have to mix things together, put the yeast in, add the warm water, and then it takes time. You have to knead the dough and let it rise. That takes time. Knead the dough again and let it rise. And that takes time. You can't make a good loaf of homemade bread in 5 minutes. At least I cannot do it. I used to have a bread baker, but it bit the dust. So that was helpful at the time. But even that took time to make a loaf of bread. And just so, we need time to use our vision, to see God at work. And sometimes it takes years to look back and say, oh yeah, I see how things went like this, and God was there in this conversation, or God put this person in touch with me, and they said something or did something that changed things, or it brought something different, a different perspective, something I needed. And with the gift of time, we see that God is at work. And then there's also, in these parables, risk involved as well. And that's something we're not so comfortable talking about, I think, or thinking about that. Risk is tricky. There's the parable of the man who plows the field, and when the plow kicks up this treasure, he goes and sells everything else he has and buys the field just so he has the treasure. Or the pearl merchant who finds the absolutely perfect pearl and sells everything they have so that they can buy just this one pearl. They're so committed to having this treasure that they're willing to risk everything. Your financial planners, if you have them, would not suggest this as a good way to, you know, to plan for retirement or to plan for other things. This is not really the way the world encourages us to think or to do, but that's what these people do. There's no rainy day fund. There's no second guessing. They are so committed, they just run out and do whatever it takes to gain this treasure, to have access to this thing of beauty and this precious gift. They're risking all, trusting that somehow God is going to help them later on down the way. And that risk, that being willing to do that, is not something that we are so comfortable with, I think. My uncle usually says those who have, you know, the more you have to conserve, the more conservative you become. And I think there's a bit of truth in that. And so what do we do with this text that tells us to risk everything to have something so precious? It's intriguing, I think, and it's something that I struggle with and perhaps you struggle with as well. I've probably told you the story before of when we were in Youngstown. Rob was pastor of a church in Struthers, a suburb of Youngstown, and when the time came for them to build their present building, the members of the church, a bunch of them, said, okay, we're going to contribute. And the way they contributed was they put a second mortgage on their house and used that money to help build the church, which on the one hand was a real act of faith that others would come and have this space to worship in and that the gospel would be proclaimed. And that way it was really a statement of faith, a statement of giving. On the other hand, it led to some problems because people would say, no, we can't do that because I paid for that and I'm not gonna, you know, we can't do something different because this is the way it has to be, which was a bit of a challenge. They were willing to take a risk financially, but not in later years to risk and to branch out and try things a different way. And so that risk is tricky for us to do that. But it's worth considering and worth pondering, I think. And then, in addition to the other things I've mentioned, that is, these parables call for courage as well. There's a need to act, and to act decisively. Jesus' last parable talks about this net of fish, that the fishermen drop the net and drag it along the bottom and bring it up. And it's full of all kinds of fish. And you can't sit and think, oh, you know, you have to act, you have to do things. The fish are either keepers or they're not. And there's no real way to fudge that, right? And so you sit down and keep this one, not this one, keep this one, not this one, keep this one, not this one. This is good for eating, this is not good for eating, this is good for eating, this is a sheep head, you know, you throw it out. This, they have to do what you have to do. And there's an urgency to this parable, because if you wait too long, all you've got is a net full of stinky fish that aren't going to be any good for anyone. And so you need to act and need to commit and need to go and to do. And part of that courage is the fact that we don't know when Jesus will come again. We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus will come again. And so there's a need to act and to be in the moment. This is not a time to goof off. Even though it's summer and even though it's a little bit more leisurely pace for some and there's vacation and traveling and visiting family and all those kind of wonderful good things that come often with summer. But there is an urgency here. There is no time like the present when we're called to spread the good news and to share the good news of God's love for all people. So today, as we look at these parables and think about how we apply them to our life, or how they give us insight into God or insight into ourselves and what we are called to do and to be, I also pray for wisdom, that God would grant you, that God would grant me, that God would grant us wisdom to lead us and guide us as we look for God's fingerprints in the world and rejoice when we see them. Amen.